It's time for the Greens to go through some growing pains. The party is planning for the future.
A different world is not only possible, but entirely within our reach.
While trying its best to leave this year's problems in the past. Kia ora, ko Giles Sextaho, ane te purongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. At the Green Party's annual general meeting in Christchurch, co-leader Chloe Swarbrick laid down a challenge for members if they want the party to become the dominant force on the left she believes it can become.
If we are to have a fighting chance of truly changing this system, we're going to have to do what no one has ever done before. It is our turn to make history. And we can't do that alone. So, e te whānau, it's time for some growing pains. That might get deeply uncomfortable, but we need to challenge ourselves to make time and space for new, slow, potentially quite hard conversations, to reach outside of ourselves and to explore where we've never been before, to build the power of regular people, to lift ourselves above the daily drudgery and build the world that we all deserve. That'll be tough. But if we want a mass movement to deliver true transformation, we gotta grow. There is no point knowing that we were right if we are left clinging to our mountains of evidence when the last tree is cut down.
The idea is that there are plenty of people out there in the missing million who align themselves with green values but haven't given the Green Party their vote. The only way to reach those people, Swarbrick says, is if the Greens take a long, hard look at themselves and some long, hard conversations with people outside the party.
You know, I love facts, I love evidence, but over the last several years that I've been involved in politics with a big P, I have to admit that they're not what changes people's hearts and minds. They can obviously progress an argument, but it's fundamentally relationships and trust which changes the world. So that was kind of the challenge that I put to our membership, was for all of us to look in the mirror and to really reflect on what it is that we want to achieve being part of this activist movement, of which the Green Parliamentary Party is just the parliamentary wing of. And that means actually working through some really hard stuff. Democracy can be messy. It means different opinions. And I think that that's actually a really good thing. But we have to come to understand that we're going to have to build coalitions with people who we haven't traditionally necessarily aligned with. And I think the final point on all of that is that that is not to be mistaken for curtailing or kowtowing upon the things that we really fundamentally believe in. It's actually about being unapologetic in those things and being willing to have those hard, sometimes long conversations in order to build that mutual understanding and trust in our communities. And that's been my experience in the last years that I've been a Green MP, where, you know, it's actually been quite fascinating going into communities who haven't traditionally seen us reflecting them, where when you take time to unpack and explain where the Green Party comes from, you do in fact find that most New Zealanders really care for each other and for the planet that we live on.
That issue of trust is a big one. How do you win over a group of people who have become disenfranchised from politics and politicians altogether?
We've seen people become disenchanted by politics, which means that they disengage, which in turn means that they get less representation on the things that they care about, and in turn less action, which, guess what, means that they're all the less likely to engage and then get more of that representation and get that action. So we need a fuse breaker, and I do believe that that fuse breaker is getting in at the ground floor, at the flax roots, and working in our communities to actually tangibly try and change our world.
And there is plenty for members to talk to people about. The Greens feel the government is ignoring the climate crisis, and the party also wants to go hard on housing and transport. The party also has its own unfinished business in government after Labour chucked a number of Green-led initiatives on its policy bonfire. It all provides fuel for the Greens going forward, to grow the movement, as long as it doesn't water down its values. Former Green MP, now political commentator Gareth Hughes, says there's a hunger in the party to do more.
The party's been through a number of evolutions over time in government and outside of it, and they would have hoped that they've dealt with those growing pains after being in government for the last 6 years, having had ministers, had to navigate the compromises and swallowing dead rats that comes with that. So it'll be a constant challenge, and they'll be spending the next year or two getting ready in case this is a one-term National Led government and they're in that position again.
And members RNZ spoke to at the AGM are up for the challenge.
Even though life can be, you know, pretty hard, we have to keep working on building those relationships in between elections with the people who are so hard hit by the current policies, and taking the time out to, and it's completely compatible with our values to do that.
It's about having those conversations and just sharing that passion. Like, I have so much optimism for the future. I believe that we can have a progressive government. I believe we can have a progressive world, and it's just sharing that passion.
I mean, it's an ambitious goal, but it's what we need to do to face the sort of requirements that the climate crisis is throwing at us. I reckon a lot of it's going to be about reaching out to groups that haven't realised how the Green Mission already aligns with their basic personal values. So that's going to be a lot about reaching out to communities who the Greens have, I think, historically maybe even not done enough for. And that includes South Auckland, Pacific communities.
Honestly, I don't blame people for wanting to switch off. It can be exhausting, and that's, you know, what Christopher Luxon's aiming for people to do. But the best way I've found is just to find something in common with someone, and if they start complaining about it, be like, yeah, me too, dude. And I've found that doing it like that can lead to like, oh, well, I've been doing this to try and counteract that really awful thing.
One of the first tough conversations members have to have is whether to abandon their long-held opposition to the party-hopping legislation to get rid of Darlene Tanner. It's been nearly 4 weeks since Tanner resigned from the Green Party. The caucus would rather their former colleague is gone entirely. The stalemate was dragging on. At the AGM, Tanner was issued an ultimatum. The co-leaders have formally told Tanner their continued presence in the House distorts the Greens' proportionality.
Not only by virtue of us now being reduced to 14 MPs and 14 votes in Parliament, whilst entitled to 15 at the most recent general election, but also the implications on, for example, question time and our parliamentary budget. This will curtail our ability to do the outreach that people in this country voted for.
That should, ordinarily, be a cut-and-dried case of justifying the party-hopping legislation. The final step, writing to the Speaker, won't happen without the endorsement of 75% of members, who will reconvene next month to decide. Former Green MP Sue Bradford, a long-standing opponent of the bill, says in this case, it makes sense.
She has not helped the cover-up of the party. She's not left the party on some major point of principle, as, for example, Jim Anderson left the Labor Party in 1989, or Jeanette Fitzsimons and Rod Donald left the Alliance in the late 90s to form the Green Party in its own right in Parliament. It's a very different case. Not leaving on a matter of principle, which I fought so hard as a Green MP, along with Rod Donald, Jeanette and others, because we knew the Green Party and our generation would never have made it into Parliament if Rod and Jeanette had not been able to leave the Alliance and take us forward as a Green Party alone into the 99 election. So we had every reason to fight the Waka Jumping Bill. But now that bill exists, for better or worse, now the Green Party has a situation where they have an MP who has voluntarily left the party, who is clearly doesn't operate within Green Party principles, who is taking away an MP and resources from the party. I would suspect that there are many Green Party members who think that in this case it's different.
But any hope things would go smoothly has rapidly disappeared. On Sunday morning, three members of the Pacifica Greens walked away from the party, saying they felt culturally unsafe, and the rush to kick Darlene Tanner out was not over concerns with the MP's alleged behaviour, but with the party's budget. They felt Wahine Māori MPs were being sacrificed for optics, and that the party did not provide adequate duty of care to its Pacific members following the death of Fa'anana Afiso Collins. Chloe Swarbrick says the former member's grief and hurt will be taken seriously.
I think that we have to acknowledge in the broader sense that, you know, we operate in terms of what my day-to-day work looks like and our caucus's day-to-day work looks like in an institution that we will be the first to acknowledge is a colonial institution, and therefore, if we actually mean what we say when we talk about transforming it, then we need to confront the legacy of decisions and where this institution kind of came from, which does mean constantly kind of seeing if we are needing to do the work to continue improving, or if we've ended up, for you know, better or worse, taking on board some of the ways that that institution operates. So I just want to be really, really clear that there is constant work that is necessary to do, especially to check yourself when you're in an institution like that. But I do think the kind of broader point here, which you've touched on, is that no group of people is homogenous, and that, funnily enough, is also part and parcel of part of what I was saying in that speech on Saturday as well, is that it is actually, and you can get tokenistic if you are just to point to one individual member of any given community and say that they purport to represent the entirety of that community. And that's what it looks like to do the meaningful work on the ground. So, you know, what's kind of been sparked by all of this is the need for us to continue doing that work and to acknowledge and to accept that there is always going to be those differences of opinion. But if we can hold that space, especially when hurt like that is expressed, and work through it, then we can only be kind of stronger for it.
Political parties' AGMs are supposed to be pretty straightforward. Members agree on some remits, tidy up any constitutional niggles, and discuss some strategy for the year ahead. The leader gets up, does a speech, and members spill out of the venue inspired and ready to spread the word. What AGMs are not supposed to contain is unplanned resignations. Swarbrick knows it's something the party will have to grapple with if it wants to grow without leaving people behind.
I think that we are going through growing pains. I think that we are needing to constantly look at ourselves in the mirror and evaluate where we're at right now and where we want to be. Of course, it comes with a level of difficulty when people express that immense amount of hurt. And I think that it's right that we take the time to sit with that, to interrogate and to investigate that, and do everything that we can to constantly improve. And I think that this is kind of just the other thing, is one individual part of this bigger movement. You know, what I've learned in the broader sense is that obviously whenever you're trying to navigate making different decisions in a very fraught landscape, everyone will have a different life experience and therefore a different kind of opinion on the things that it is that you are doing, especially as a collective. And I think what's important at the end of the day is knowing what your values are and trying your absolute best to pick a course of action that's aligned with those values.
That the Greens have had a tumultuous year has been well traversed. Gowrie Scutterman's arrest, James Shaw's retirement, Julianne Genter's referral to Privileges Committee, and the ongoing Darlene Tanner saga. It's all led to a year Sue Bradford and Gareth Hughes believe has been the most difficult in the party's history.
I guess what is really striking at the moment to me, and I'm sure to others, is the party's inability to make decisions quickly and well on all sorts of fronts, not just on the latest Darlene Tanner issue, but the way they keep dragging everything and anything out for as long as possible, for reasons that are sometimes discernible and sometimes aren't, doesn't bode well for people to have trust in a party that's actually capable of leading in the parliament and outside the parliament on the huge issues of the day. I mean, you need a party that's competent, that can act decisively, whose MPs are constantly speaking out clearly on the issues, who aren't embroiled in constant internal dynamics and difficulties. Otherwise, I think they're going to be really pushing it uphill.
Without a doubt, this has been the worst year in the party's existence since it entered parliament in 1999, not all of it of its own making. And you've got to remember, voters don't want to see political parties focused or talking about themselves. They want to see them focused on the voters and the issues that are important to them. So, you know, this is something the Greens will be desperately aware of, knowing that they need to try and draw a line under the focus on themselves and talk more about the issues which are important to people.
Then there's the other challenges, the ones nobody can give you a playbook on how to manage. The sudden death of much-loved MP Fa'anana Afiso-Collins and Marama Davidson's cancer diagnosis. It's these challenges that lead Swarbrick to say the caucus has been forged in fire.
I can only reflect on the reality that we have been confronted with, and to that effect, you know, I'd actually made the joke to our caucus coming out of the AGM and to our amazing staff who helped to, you know, support us throughout that. that I keep saying to everyone that our caucus is forged in fire, but I do so genuinely mean that. I've been part of three different parliamentary Green caucuses now, and this is absolutely no shade in any of those past, but it is to say that these experiences, which has been incredibly full on, have meant that we have had to try and test our relationships and our trust with each other and really get to this cut and thrust of whanaungatanga very quickly. And we've got each other's back. And what's been really cool about that is not only have we been able to support each other through these incredibly testing and trying times, but also that we've continued to have our focus on the stuff that really matters.
The Green Party will be hoping it can get to the end of this growth with its membership and values still mostly intact. Because the more time the party spends talking about itself, the longer these growing pains will continue. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Giles Dexter. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.